Grasping the Mystery. It's amazingly difficult to figure out what the brain actually does. If nature has a sense of humor, this is the ultimate prank. Keeping the brain under wraps, even though the mind is using it at every moment. You can't figure out how a neuron works simply by thinking about it. Indeed, you can't even figure out that neurons exist. We don't see or feel our brain cells. With the dawn of X-rays, fMRI scans, and sophisticated surgical techniques, neuroscience can make the brain's machinery visible. There it sits, twinkling away with microvolts of electricity, zapping a few molecules of neurotransmitters across the synapses. And yet, for all intents and purposes, brain cells act like all the other cells in the body. Even skin cells secrete various neurotransmitters. So why do you have to open your eyes to see the sunrise instead of just holding up your elbow to see it? No one has managed to close the gap between what a brain cell does, bouncing atoms and molecules around, and the rich four-dimensional world that the brain manages to produce. To get around this fundamental difficulty, reality has to be rethought from the ground up. Equating the brain with a computer is a common assumption that can be thrown out almost immediately. Let's say you saw a lovely pink rose named Queen Elizabeth and decide to plant one in your garden. When you arrive at the nursery, the rose's name skips your mind. But after a moment, you recall it. If instead you asked your smartphone to find the right name, it would go through every single pink rose in its memory chips. And as it undertook this laborious process, it would never know that Queen Elizabeth was the correct name until you told it so. Computers are in no way smart. Worldwide publicity surrounded the 1997 defeat of the reigning world chess champion Garry Kasparov by a computer program from IBM known as Deep Blue. The two, man and machine, had been exchanging wins and losses for 2 years, and Deep Blue's ultimate victory was hailed as a step forward for artificial intelligence. But that's exactly the point. What the computer did was artificial. In a sophisticated software program that IBM continually refined and updated, the basic operation was to comb through every possible chess move in order to arrive at the one that was statistically likely to be the best. So, in a sense, Kasparov versus Deep Blue was a contest between humans on both sides, but with vastly different approaches. A human chess player doesn't remotely follow this procedure. Instead, the skill of playing chess has been mastered, and with this mastery comes a sense of strategy, imagination, and the ability to assess one's opponent, and many wins are due as much to psychological mastery as to skill. A champion sees the right move without running through all possible moves. Deep Blue, in fact, couldn't play chess in the first place. It could only run numbers and play the odds. The main reason this roundabout strategy worked in the end was that the programmers resorted to shortcuts that imitated how the human mind works. But the computer had no way of coming up with such shortcuts on its own. In effect, calling Deep Blue intelligent is the same as calling an adding machine intelligent, and equally off the mark. Likewise, human beings experience a world of inner experiences like love, joy, inspiration, discovery, surprise, boredom, anguish, and frustration that cannot be turned into numbers. Therefore, the whole inner world is alien to computers. Hardcore AI experts tend to dismiss the inner world as a kind of glitch or even an illusion. If so, that would make the entire history of art and music an illusion, along with every act of imagination and all emotions. And in the final analysis, science itself, since science is also a creative process. Clearly, the mind can't be digitized. Therefore, turning the brain into a supercomputer is fallacious, since everything it does is digitized.